The message this morning comes from Romans chapter 8, verses 1 through 4. Romans chapter 8, verses 1 through 4. And this is what it says. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life has set you free in Christ Jesus from the law of sin and death. For God has done what the law, weakened by the flesh, could not do. By sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, He condemned sin in the flesh, in order that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. May the Lord bless this reading of His Word. Today we come to one of the greatest chapters in the entire Bible, Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8 deals with the subject of the security of believers in Christ Jesus. One of the results of justification by faith is eternal security. And so the chapter begins with this magnificent declaration: there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. It is introduced to us by something at the end of the last chapter. Chapter 7 closed with a description of the conflict that goes on in every believer's life, the struggle between the continuing principle of sin in our heart and the introduction of a new nature that is ours by regeneration in Christ Jesus. The end of chapter 7 says, I do not understand my own actions, for I do not do what I want to do, but I do the very thing that I hate. I do not do the good I want, but the evil I do not want is what I keep on doing. Wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then I myself serve the law of God with my mind, but with my flesh I serve the law of sin. So we have this continuing conflict with indwelling sin. And the question arises, how can we have assurance of salvation even as we continue to struggle with sin in our lives? And then chapter 7, verse 25 says, thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. And then chapter 8 begins, there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. That is the first of several answers to the question of assurance. We may continue to struggle against sin, and we may often lose that battle, but we will never have to pay the ultimate penalty for sin. We get assurance from the fact that there is no condemnation. Now, how do you get assurance from the fact that there is no condemnation? Well, first of all, contemplate the reality of no condemnation. Romans 8:1 says there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. That word now makes a contrast between what we were before we were in Christ Jesus and what we are now that we are in Christ Jesus. Before our relationship to Christ Jesus by faith, we were under the wrath of God and under a sentence of condemnation. Now that we have come to faith in Christ, we are no longer under condemnation. The word that is emphasized in that verse is the word no. In the Greek text, it is an intense form of the word no. There are several words for no in the Greek language. And the word that is used here is not a simple no, but an intensive form of the word no. And so what the verse is saying is, there is no condemnation, not any, ever, We have been delivered from condemnation, and we will not have to face the penalty of condemnation at the final judgment. This condemnation has in view the final judgment and the execution of the punishment that follows. There is a difference between the sentence of condemnation and the execution of the punishment of condemnation. You can be under a sentence of condemnation awaiting the execution of the punishment, and that is the case for all of those who are not in Christ. They are condemned, and if nothing changes, then after the final judgment, they will be cast into the lake of fire for eternal punishment. We who are in Christ are not under condemnation, and so we do not have to face that eternal punishment that follows the final judgment. So we will continue to wrestle against sin all of our lives, and we will often lose that battle, but we will never, ever have to pay that ultimate penalty for sin. That is what no condemnation means. So contemplate the reality of no condemnation. Secondly, confirm that you are in the realm of no condemnation. There is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Who are the ones for whom there is no condemnation? The ones who are in Christ Jesus. That is a very important condition. What does it mean, in Christ Jesus? Well, that is a biblical concept that is shrouded in some mystery, and I'm sure that I will not be able to adequately explain it. However, it is a concept that describes a spiritual reality. It is a metaphysical reality. We know what it is to be physically in something or outside of something. You can be in the house or outside of the house. A cow can be in the pen or outside of the pen. You can be in the boat or outside the boat. Something can be in the container or outside of the container. In is a word that has to do with position or location. And we can understand that physically. But when you talk about being in Christ, you're talking about something beyond the physical realm. Christ is not a big container that saved people are put in when they believe in Him. But it is something like that. It really is something like that, because when a person comes to Christ in genuine faith, that person's position changes. That person's position changes from being in a realm of condemnation to being in a realm of justification. There is a change of position, and that is a spiritual position that cannot be seen by the physical eyes, but it can be known by faith. So confirm that you are in the realm of no condemnation by faith in Jesus Christ. Have you sincerely embraced Jesus Christ by faith so that you are now in the realm of no condemnation? Thirdly, consider the reason for no condemnation. The reason for no condemnation is stated in verses 2 and 3. Verse 2 says, "For the law of the Spirit of life has set you free in Christ Jesus from the law of sin and death." The term law is used in this verse in the sense of a principle. It's like the law of gravity or the law of sowing and reaping. The law of gravity explains why things fall to the earth. The law of sowing and reaping explains things about plant growth. If you sow a certain kind of seed, a certain kind of plant will grow. Well, the law of the Spirit of life is a principle. When it is in operation, it results in good consequences. The law of sin and death is also a principle, and when it is in operation, it results in bad consequences. The good consequence of the law of the Spirit of life is no condemnation. The bad consequence of the law of sin and death is condemnation and eternal punishment. Verse 3 gives further explanation to this. Verse 3 says, For God has done what the law, weakened by the flesh, could not do, by sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh. And for sin, He condemned sin in the flesh. The term law in verse 3 basically means the Ten Commandments. We've already seen that the Ten Commandments define what sin is and provoke us to sin and expose sin in our lives. It's not that the law itself is evil, but it's the sinfulness in our own hearts. That is the weakness of the flesh that this verse is talking about. The law condemns us because we cannot keep it. What the law does is the law comes along and the law makes demands upon our weak, sinful flesh that our sinful flesh cannot fulfill. And since we cannot fulfill it, we are condemned by it. So if we are going to be saved from condemnation, it can't be by the law because of our sinful flesh. We can only be saved by something outside of us, by something beyond us. And that's what you have in verse 3. God sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, here it comes, condemned sin in the flesh. That is substitutionary atonement. Sin that condemns us is itself condemned in our substitute. The substitute is the Son of God, of the very nature of God Himself. The substitute came in the likeness of sinful flesh. The likeness of sinful flesh means that He was in the flesh just like us. He would appear to be one of us, but He was not sinful. That is why it says the likeness of sinful flesh. He was really in flesh, but He was not sinful like we are. The substitute condemned sin in the flesh, and that makes Him an appropriate substitute for us because we are of the flesh. So our substitute paid the penalty, and we do not have to pay it. And there is now no condemnation. Charles Haddon Spurgeon, the great Baptist preacher of England in the 19th century, told a story that illustrates substitution. It goes like this. In one of the French wars, a man's name was drawn for the battle. And because of other considerations, a friend stepped in and took the place of this man. And that friend went into the war, and in the battle he was slain. In the years after, the man's name was drawn again. And when he appeared before the law, he said, "My name has been drawn, and I went to the war, and I was slain. And I cannot be pushed into the service again." And they found out that his friend had taken his place and had died in his stead. And according to the law, the man was free. By law, he had already paid. He had already died in his substitute. And he was free. His friend had taken his place. That is the reason why there is no condemnation for us. Our substitute has suffered condemnation for us, and we are free. We will never have to pay the penalty of condemnation for our sin. Sin can harass us. Sin can obstruct us. Sin can defeat us. But sin can never make us pay the price of condemnation. And then finally, the fourth thing, certify the fact that there is no condemnation by the result. What do I mean by certify the fact of no condemnation by the result? Well, verse 4 says, "He condemned sin in the flesh in order that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not according to the flesh but according to the Spirit." That says something about the result of substitutionary atonement that brings no condemnation for us. The result is that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. The work of Christ on our behalf did something to enable us to fulfill the righteous requirement of the law. And it changed our walk. God saves us by substitutionary atonement. He transfers our sins to our substitute so that we no longer have to pay the penalty for them. Then He imputes the righteousness of our substitute to us so that we are considered righteous. And then He puts His Spirit inside of us to enable us to fulfill the righteous requirement of the law. There is a continuing conflict with sin, but the inclination of our lives is changed toward righteous living. That is what Paul meant when he said in the previous chapter, "I delight in the law of God in my inner being." A Christian is a person who walks not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. The pattern of his life is to walk after the Spirit. This is how you certify that there is no condemnation. This is how you get assurance that there's no condemnation. The pattern of your life will change so that you will walk after the Spirit and fulfill the righteous requirements of the law. Now, this does not mean anything like sinless perfection, but the bent of the Christian life will be toward righteousness. So how can we have assurance even as we continue to struggle with sin? First of all, contemplate the reality of no condemnation. We will never, ever have to pay the price of the punishment of condemnation for our sins. Secondly, confirm that you are in the realm of no condemnation. If you have not embraced Jesus Christ by faith, then do it. Thirdly, consider the reason why there is no condemnation. And the reason is that because our substitute paid for the condemnation for us. And then fourthly, certify no condemnation by the results. Walk according to the Spirit and not according to the sinful nature. Thank God for no condemnation in Christ Jesus. Thank God for the assurance that we have of that. And with that, we will sing our final hymn of the day.